This is Patsy with the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. So happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Don Edward Cook. And the name of this book is Ithiana, Last Daughter of Atlantis. And this is book one, How the World Ended Millennia Ago. Say it for me.
I'll say the whole title.
Good.
Ithiana, Last Daughter of Atlantis, book one.
Oh.
How the World Ended Millennia Ago.
That was perfect. So many things I like about this book. One of the first things, of course, I want to mention when the scene right where you introduce Ithiana and B, I enjoyed that so much, that chapter. But I will tell people, the book starts, well, you can't start better than this, than with Genesis. So from there, you take us into an idea and a really special, very special look at the world. So you tell me, what do you want people to know about this book?
Well, first of all, Patsy, it's obviously the first in a series, and it's in its own way, it has the main character starting off with being the daughter of a rich father, a man who made his fortune in property sales and property management, even going on Atlantis's version of television and making and advertising rentals and sales for his properties. He's in the kind of landlord who's altruistic too. But anyway, I decided to start from where someone's search for the truth begins, and it often begins with an inciting incident. And in the main character's case, it was when her mother died, and how she died, of what I termed dark times heartbreak syndrome, which is simple dying of heartbreak these days. But that can lead to so many other physical illnesses that can kill you. And so I decided to have her go on an informal quest that when I jumped to the day of just before her graduation, I decided to have her outline her case towards the scholars at an Atlantean university type institution. And I had her outline her theory of doom, which showed where how everything was leading up to doomsday as far as the Atlanteans were concerned, and how she planned to have people escape in a spacecraft, a space ark, if you will, to another planet. And that more research needed to be done, and eventually she got the doctorate in the second chapter she graduates, but at a graduation that is plagued with violence by protesters who go crazy and just attack the guests, the grads, the faculty, the staff, as if they were just like a riot. And when at the end I tell the reader that the project is set up, and they eventually come to the conclusion that they have to build this space ark or buy a spacecraft that they can refurbish, and they try to get help from their own Atlantean government, but because it was so indebted, they can't count on the government for help, so they take their case to the ancient version of the United Nations, which I term the League of Realms. And they also give thumbs down because they think the idea of such a disaster is ludicrous. And I was partly inspired to write this book, Patsy, not just by the Genesis account and what I've learned about Atlantis, but also by a 1951 film called When Worlds Collide. It's I've worked that in, plus also worked in a few other elements from Star Wars, like where the main character manages to talk her way out of a traffic ticket, or as I call it, a writ of traffic, through the use of mental powers on a motorcycle police officer or a road knight.
I love that.
Yeah. And using combination of mental powers and feminine charm, she gets out of the traffic ticket. And is another yet another road rat that she beats.
Well,
how many would just love to do that with when they're stopped by a cop?
Well, tell us about Ithi, because I think it's very clever. And tell us how you came out with the idea of her special abilities.
Well, I decided to use the possibility of people having these extreme mental powers back before the flood and in Atlantis in particular, plus the idea of people once having these abilities, but after the flood, God curtailed them so that we're much more limited in what our mental abilities are. We can still think and reason and plan and do it with logic and with hunches, but nowhere near the degree that Ithiana and others like her are able to do up till the day of the flood.
When I read the prologue, you describe her abilities and also introduce her adopted sister, B. Right from that moment on, I knew that I was going to enjoy this book.
Anyway, I decided to use her mental powers, her extremely strong mental powers, as the mother of all other superpowers that somebody can have, that they can either use them or develop them. Because it all starts in the mind. Like, if someone can will themselves to bend object with their mind, like taking a fork and twisting it around, or they can also apply that same power to their arms and legs so they can have super strength and run so fast they make the Flash look like a snail. And other things about being super intelligent about how to figure out problems, how to solve problems, how to come up with great theories in any field and hypotheses and be proven right a lot of the time. But also give her some deficits. You know how sometimes certain, not every woman, thank God, but certain women can have a princessy type personality when things don't go their way, even if they can be the most altruistic person you'll ever meet. They can still have a lesser side where they can be princessy and have a rich girl's entitled attitude. She's not exactly a pure person. Her sister Bianya, or B, is more pure, far more pure, and that Ithiana has a bit of a naughty streak that she inherited from both her mom and her dad.
Well, there are so many things in this book that I got a kick out of because so much is relevant. I like in the beginning of chapter 3 where you're writing about the Women's Coven of Sciences in Lemuria. You're writing about how a group has to go through levels in order to talk about something else or to get involved in something else. And with all this recent news we've had of censors and people, you know, censoring, I thought it was right on.
Yes, and you know what? Born and raised in Canada, we have a very bureaucratic-oriented culture here. Like, in most other countries, their cultures are based upon certain wider ideals, such as America being based on the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Britain being based on the similar ideals along with fair play. The French based on artistic flair. Germans on precision. Italians on lovable chaos. And a whole host of other cultures having their own cultural values that are more expressed in wider concepts. But Canada, we tend to rely more on our bureaucracies and institutions to define our culture than any other culture on earth. It's a case of we don't define ourselves by who we are 9 times out of 10, but instead by who we're not. And for the most part, we usually tag the word idea of bureaucracy and having to go through level after level after level is what I incorporated in the book. And I based Atlantis, partly on Canada, but also incorporating other features of the four other major English-speaking nations like the UK, US, Australia, and New Zealand into the mix to make up Atlantis, or as I formally call it, the Federal Kingdom of Atlantis. And my main character's home province, or Republic province, not all of them have monarchy systems. Some of them are actually republics within the greater kingdom. I have it called Calitarion. It's a combination of the names California and Ontario, because they have one thing, and they have a lot in common, California and Ontario, including, I might add, Patsy. They are the, in their respective countries, California and Ontario are the most indebted subnational jurisdictions in their two countries. California is the most indebted state in the Union, and Ontario is not only the most indebted province of Canada, but it's also the most indebted subnational jurisdiction of its type on the planet.
In a way, your book is complex, but in the end, when you look at it, it is a story of that you've managed to create these characters that we care about and we want to know more about, and what's going to happen. I mean, I can see why we're going to need a book too. How did you put a lot of thought into this book? This is not one of these books that, you know, somebody's rushed off in during the pandemic period.
Yeah. In fact, this was when I wrapped up work on this book in terms of the writing, it was a few weeks or months before the end of the pandemic, before the start of the pandemic, the coronavirus crisis, I call it. The copyright date is 2020. And I wrapped up work on it before Canada really went into full mode lockdown. So I wrapped up work around February or March thereabouts. And I decided to simply take the world that I knew and that I learned about over the last 50 or 60 so years, plus 30 or 20 or 30, maybe 40 years before I was born, and built Atlantis around that. The idea of the share market crashes, as in market shares, some older people might understand that shares and stocks are the same thing, but younger readers might think, well, it's magical, because they may have a different set of priorities, but shares and stocks are the same thing, so I decided to have share market crashes increasing in frequency. And I used the idea of the stock market crash in 1929 and how devastating that became and the effects after that to base the economic messes that Atlantis went through. And also the Cold War between the West and the East, which in its own way is heating up again over Ukraine. I decided to have Lemuria basically being like a radical communist state like China, and what Russia was in terms of communism and other communist dictatorships. And I thought, what if Lemuria was such a socialist dictatorship only run by women? And I decided to do that, and I even had one of the main characters' best friends and mentors, Dr. Zakrovia, being a defector from Lemuria, and how she defected is pretty interesting.
Definitely. I like the layout of the book. I like I enjoy reading these headlines as, you know, throughout the book, because it just, I think it adds something to it. It really makes it interesting. And I can go back, because I do find I will read, you know, 50 pages, and then I'll remember something that you talked about, because the interesting thing about your book is that it has the connections to what's actually happening in the world. And so you want to see the parallels. And I enjoyed that so much. I enjoyed that I could remember, like, in a section, perhaps where you're talking about Noah's Land and High Heels Reunion. I could go back to that particular spot and reread it because it's fascinating. It's
yeah. I also use the science behind the flood as creationists have explained how it could be. And I took the idea of just one continent, and it wasn't called Atlantis in the book, but Atlantis just happened to be the greatest power on Earth today. But I used maps and illustrations of a place of the supercontinent Rodinia, not Pangaea, but Rodinia, that's kind of like a big claw with a scorpion's tail attached to it, and it just looks like. And that's how, and I'm sure you saw at the map, that it looks a lot like a big, huge claw with a scorpion's tail attached to it.
I like that you have, in the front, you have a dramatis personae, so we can keep the characters straight. So I think that's very helpful.
Yes, and with pronunciation keep
yes.
along with it, because it'll help, because I use the emphasized syllables, put them in capitals, and the lesser emphasized syllables in lowercase. And I did that because I wanted to help people to understand how they're pronounced and who they are. And I also simply put, Patsy, I decided to have my Atlantis, my world of Atlantis, the world of Noah's Day in the book. I took the world I've known, like I said, and Atlanteanized it. And I used Greek, Roman, Egyptian, Babylonian influences to style my Atlantis, and even the coat of arms for Lemurians, basing that partly on the beast of revelations, namely lionesses' heads, she-bears' heads, leopards' heads, and a dragon snake-like head. That's actually a lion-like head, but more reptilian dragon-like than anything. And with coat of arms being flanked by soldier ants and an ant queen at the top.
I really enjoyed reading this book. The cover is beautiful. It's a wonderful cover. And the name of the book is Ithiana, Last Daughter of Atlantis. This is a series. And this is book one, How the World Ended Millennia Ago. I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. Are you on Facebook?
I have a website, donnyverse.com, donnyverse.com.
Donnyverse.com. Okay, well, people go there. I'm sure that once you start reading this book, it's always happens with sci-fi books. Once you start reading them and you get into the characters, the names come to you easily. You remember them. And I think you've done a great job. I assume you're finishing book two now?
It's in the editing process, and I'm wrapping up initial work on that. And
well, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And as soon as you have a release date for the new book, you let me know, okay?
No problem.
Okay. Again, that's Don Edward Cook, and the website is Donnyverse, right?
Yes, donnyverse.com.
Okay, everybody. Have a look at it. Bye-bye now.